You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
After a year on the inside, I learned they had little concern for rebuilding black families, and they cared even less about improving the quality of education for students in Minneapolis. That was made clear when they publicly denounced charter schools alongside the teachers' union. I was an insider in Black Lives Matter, and I learned the ugly truth. The moratorium on charter schools does not support rebuilding the black family, but it does create barriers to a better education for black children. I resigned from Black Lives Matter after a year and a half.
That's a statement from Rashard Turner, BLM founder of the St. Paul, Minnesota Black Lives Matter chapter. This is June 1st, 2021. We have a Texas voting law that's under consideration that they tried to get through the other day that Democrats were fighting against, that the governor of Texas is going to have to call a special election. Now, I tie that into this concern about BLM and the entire effort right now to make sure that our country becomes more united, not more divided. The Texas law, there's some points in there that are worth considering, and there's some others that are being hijacked and used as propaganda tools by the Democrats to basically pass their federal law to control all elections. Rashard Turner stating after a year and a half that he decided he was stepping out of BLM because it was not doing what it promised it was supposed to do. And we've had similar discussions like that. But here's a guy who said, I was there for a year and a half. And I saw what was going on and how money is being spent and who was not getting helped. And it was not the people of the community, which we've stressed over and over again. And, of course, we pointed out to you the other day, Friday, that the co-founder, Patrice Cullors, had resigned, saying that she was going to focus on other things right now. She's got a book, a movie project. I mean, this is an avowed, even self-professed Marxist, but she's got millions of dollars now out of BLM, and she's set for life. She doesn't need to talk about sharing the wealth anymore, and she's not interested in doing so. We're going to get into that in more detail as we move through the next 2 hours. President Biden today is going to Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he declared yesterday, May 31st, a day of remembrance of the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Massacre. 2 days of violence and blacks being massacred in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they said, I don't think I ever heard about this before. I'm thinking back on my school. I don't remember anything. What, did they teach it? And I didn't get it. I didn't hear it. I said, I doubt that it was ever taught. So it's a good thing that we're examining it now. Because as much as I'm against pulling down statues of Robert E. Lee and Confederate generals and so forth, because that's part of history, this is also part of history. But the grounds of where this massacre took place in 1921 have already been paved over and made into something else, but they could still erect something, and we do need to spend time on what happened and what was behind it. We're also going to look at the latest on the COVID and vaccine updates, some concerns that there might be real additional problems with some of the vaccines. And also we're going to be joined by former U.S. Ambassador Pete Hoekstra talking about it's time to get tough with China, specifically, the Biden administration doing so and not bowing down to China and really showing some spine. And at the same time, we've got former President Obama saying that Biden is doing pretty much what he was going to be doing anyway if he had a third term. In fact, pointing out he's using some of my own staff, which we know. Biden brought in numerous members of the former Obama White House. And we've questioned that before. Is this in a way Obama's third term? And then we have the story about the Pentagon confirming a swarm, a UFO swarm over the USS Omaha off the coast of San Diego, caught on video and on radar. UFO means unidentified flying object. They cannot say where they came from, but they documented them and see them, one, go right into the water but leave no debris field. Nothing man-made that we know of. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
On his first Memorial Day as Commander-in-Chief, President Biden paid his respects to America's fallen by placing the traditional wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
We live by the light of the flame of liberty. They kept burning. We're free because they were brave.
With Arlington National Cemetery as his backdrop, the president took a turn into domestic politics, issuing a direct warning about America's future.
Democracy itself is in peril. Here at home and around the world, what we do now, how we honor the memory of the fallen, will determine whether or not democracy will long endure.
Those are the words of President Biden. And, of course, that was a report from Fox News about how the president marked Memorial Day, his first Memorial Day as president. He did everything right as far as placing the wreath at Arlington Cemetery and the remarks and talking about our freedom and how important it is. I have nothing to say against what he did at those points and those issues. I just wish more of some of the leftist would accept what he had to say, that they would understand that, yes, this democracy is critical. It is vital. And I'm speaking specifically, reference those who are pushing to transform America. Here you had President Biden saying these rights that have been fought for, paid for with a high price, are very important, that we want to keep this nation as is. And yet he's also in the party that is actively trying to transform the nation, as they like to call it. They want to get into stuff in the court. They want to bring in two more states, D.C. in particular, and Puerto Rico, which they think will give them more Democrat votes, which certainly it would. You've got them pushing critical race theory to be in all of our schools and teaching lies in many cases. Where's the disconnect? Where's the disconnect? Because we have so many that do believe the nation is good. And yes, we have our faults. We want to do better. We want to continue to improve. We are still imperfect in some ways. We do want to move forward. Obviously, much of it comes down to politics, not facts. And that's on both sides. But Memorial Day itself, while it was intended to be a time to mark those who paid the price for this country, for the freedoms you have, men and women who died in battle or in a engagement theater while on active duty, many probably just went out to have a party. They're just looking to go have party and celebrations, and that's all fine. I just hope that you also took some time just to at least say a prayer of thanks that we have this country and for those who paid that price. Now, if you lost a loved one in some of the more recent battles this country's been in, well, then you certainly probably did so. But if you've never been touched by war in the sense of losing a relative, or if it was generations before you, be it World War I or even the Civil War, you just kind of have lost your, you don't give it the attention it deserves. So I'm glad, obviously, that President Biden stepped forward and reminded us of this price of this country and what had to be done. He did also talk on domestic issues to an extent that we have to do better and also recognize that where we have some issues that we need to resolve them. Let me read you a quote from part of his memorial address, where he said the U.S. is in a struggle for the soul of America itself. Now, these are direct from his transcript. The soul of America is animated by the perennial battle between our worst instincts, which we've seen of late, and our better angels. Right there, that's where he begins to throw politics into a national day of honor for those who serve this country. And I'm not saying other presidents have done the same thing. I'm not, or haven't done it in some fashion. But when he says politics are worst instincts, which we've seen of late, do you think he's talking about the soul of America as it's burning and being looted and rioting and all through the summer? Or is he talking about the January 6th event and forgetting the others or ignoring them? I don't know. I can't get inside his head. If I were to guess, he is not referring to anything but Trump and January 6th and such things. And he added these remarks, between me first and we the people, between greed and generosity, cruelty and kindness, captivity and freedom. Those are the differences, he said, between our worst instincts and our better angels, between me first and we the people, between greed and generosity, cruelty and kindness, captivity and freedom. One of the big things, of course, we're facing right now in this nation is what are we going to do, or what the Democrats are going to try to do about federalizing election laws across the nation. In response, we have states, red states, and governors of those and legislatures of those states striving to make sure that they can protect voting rights of their citizens and be sure they're open to all citizens, but at the same time, reject any federal interference. Some of those involve ID laws, as you well know. And, of course, you saw the high-profile reaction in Georgia, where facts were just ignored, as the Democrats were saying, these laws in Georgia are inequitable, they're wrong, and everything else. And we're going to look in this more detail as well, but in the second hour. But I'm reminding you that every time you hear them complain about voter ID, that it's onerous, it's discriminatory. The state of Georgia has had voter ID for several years. The only difference they made this time is if you're going to vote absentee, we need to have some ID that you are who you are and you live where you say you do. So we're not just sending a ballot or even a voter application to someone who isn't there anymore. And, of course, we're all being hit over and over again about how discriminatory this nation is. Have we been? Yes. Are there cases that still exist? Yes. Will there probably continue? Unfortunately, yes. But just because it was one way previously or even today doesn't mean it has to stay that way. If we as a nation, find a way to look past the color of skin. I'm looking at a piece written by, and I've read pieces to you before, from DeRoy Murdoch. He's a Fox News contributor. He's also with National Review Online. He's a senior fellow with the Center for Policy Research in London. He brings up some very interesting points I want to share with you, because while we're talking about Memorial Day and the price of this country, and we are a beacon on the hill, we are a beacon on the hill for many who want to have a better life. Some of it based on our Judeo-Christian base. Some of it based on our freedoms, our liberties and democracies, which they do not have. The opportunities here that do not exist elsewhere. And yet in the midst of all that, against the face of all of that, we have many complaining that the U.S. is just bigoted, and it's filled with systemic racism and white supremacy. So here you have DeRoy Murdoch. He's a black man, and he's writing an opinion piece for Fox. He begins it this way. If America, and he makes it KKA, A-M-E-R-I-K-K-A, instead of the normal spelling of America. If America is so bigoted, why do Africans and Caribbeans leave black rum, predominantly black nations, and come to the United States of America, which the Democrat left condemns as Earth's headquarters of systemic racism and white supremacy? Simply posing that question. Do you know the answer? Do you know if he's right? Well, let's break it down as he goes through the article. He refers to the most recent Department of Homeland Security data. 548,891 African immigrants became permanent U.S. residents between 2015 and 2019. And I met one about 6 months ago who had come from Africa and had just become a permanent U.S. citizen, and they were so proud and happy. And I said, welcome to America fully. And Murdoch points out that of these 548,891 African immigrants who became permanent U.S. residents between 2015 and 19, he also adds in 2020, these were the top 10 African sources for such new green card holders. And he referred also to these stats. Nigeria, 99% black country, he points out, 12,200 plus from Nigeria came to the U.S. And I also know some Nigerians who are now U.S. citizens. They've been here for several decades, and a couple of them are doctors, professors. From Democratic Republic of Congo, which is identified as 100% black based on the CIA World Factbook, 11,000. From Ethiopia, which is listed as about 87% black, 5,400 came. Ghana, 98.5% black, 4,500 came. Kenya, 92% black, 3,000 came. Cameroon, 95.5%, almost 2,800 coming. Somalia, 85% black, 2,600 coming to America, becoming either new green card holders or eventually moving into U.S. citizenship. Sudan, 70%. His point being that if we are so bad and so racist, why do they still come? And he points out that of those in even the Caribbean, as I was suggesting, from Haiti, 95%, we got almost 10,000. Jamaica, 92% black, 12,000. Bahamas, 90% black, 600 or less. He said, the question is, we're seeing, or pointing out, he said, we're seeing more coming in from these countries, percentage-wise, than Denmark, a Scandinavian nation, 86% white population, but more St. Lucians than Danes decide to call America home. He said it would be incredibly easy for systemic racism to deny these people visas long before they could get a green card. You have a Kenyan or Haitian, automatically turn back. But we don't. We invite them. We want them to be part of this country. We are a country of immigrants. We all acknowledge that. The key is legal immigration. And he said, black immigrants like these treasure America's abundant freedom, ample opportunity, never mind, quote, the systemic racism, big lie, relentlessly chanted by the American-hating Democrat left. And I think he's right on all those points. Updates on COVID and vaccines.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the Pennsylvania governor says he will not lift the mask mandate in his state for a month or until 70% of his population in his state is vaccinated. Not going to happen, he says. You're going to continue to live under mask mandates. Now, this comes as we're also seeing the U.S. recording a seven-day average of fewer than 20,000 new daily COVID-19 cases for the first time since 2020, fewer than 20,000 new daily COVID-19 cases. That's from Johns Hopkins University. It is a stunning milestone. In March of last year, COVID-19 infection hospitalization numbers started climbing. At least 80% of the nation's population under stay-at-home orders. Estimated again by Johns Hopkins University, more than 33 million Americans have been infected. More than 594,000 have died. Maybe it's hit your family, relatives, friends. It has mine. But everyone is saying we're headed the right direction and the mask can come off. Well, according to the Pennsylvania governor, no. And everyone thought, and the left-wing media said when Governor Abbott said the mask mandate is lifted all across the state of Texas, you're going to kill people. Well, that hasn't happened. Same thing for the Florida governor. And, of course, when you look at what happened in New York State as to how Cuomo had been kissy-kissy and friends and loved by the establishment or now state-controlled media while attacking DeSantis of Florida and Abbott of Texas, they just want to overlook the issues that happened under his watch in his state. And researchers are now reporting this. You need to be aware of this. University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. They said they used a mathematical model in simulating the coronavirus spread among the 10 million of North Carolina. And they found, according to the study, coronavirus infections, hospitalizations, and deaths would continue to rise if pandemic precautions such as quarantine, school closures, social distancing, and mask wearing were lifted while vaccines are still being rolled out. And in adding, in fact, vaccination alone may not be enough to end the COVID-19 epidemic. A relative of mine that passed away is in North Carolina, or I should say they lived in North Carolina. And yet, stores in many places now, unless the state is mandating otherwise, are saying mask optional. And the mask, we've been told by Dr. Fake Fauci, can do you no good. Or yes, they can do you good. Or no, they can't. Or maybe you need two masks. Or you had the vaccine, you don't need the mask, but then again, maybe you do. The public's still so confused. The main thing is they look at what's been happening to us and how we got there. And that's the other big question. China still not coming fully forward. And now there's a report of another type of coronavirus surfacing in China. I'm going to be joined in the next segment by Pete Hoekstra, former U.S. ambassador to the Netherlands. He's the chair of the Center for Security Policy Group, former chair of the House Intel. And he says, Joe Biden right now, this president and this nation, we need to start getting tough on China now. Not tomorrow, not next week, now. You think we will? That interview coming up. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for three generations, protecting homes and businesses. Three generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We are glad to have back on board with us Pete Hoekstra, who is a Dutch-American politician, did serve as our U.S. ambassador to the Netherlands from 2018 to 2021. He did serve as a member of the Michigan Congressional District at one time and was chair of the House Intel Committee. Glad to have you back on board, sir.
Hey, it is always good to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, I should also point out that he is the chair of the center, the board center for security policy. Against that backdrop, Pete, I was looking at an article you penned talking about that we have to get tough on China now. What are we missing? Are you talking about just going after them, reference COVID, or much bigger issue?
Well, obviously, it's a much bigger issue. Under President Trump, we focused on the economic issues, their stealing of intellectual property, their subsidization by the Chinese Communist Party of Chinese industries to put American and Western companies out of business and for them to capture key technologies. But, you know, last week, this whole story of COVID started raising its head again, that this actually may have come from a lab, and that's been even reinforced more strongly in the last couple of days. And it's kind of like, wait a minute, when you start, you know, putting out a pandemic across the world, you know, a pandemic, and you're being secretive and you're not telling anybody and you're putting out disinformation, you know, it's time for the U.S. and Europe and other democracy, freedom-loving people to hold China accountable for what it has done.
And we heard those calls and warnings that China is responsible. We heard them from Senator Cotton and others, and President Trump, when every time you referred to it as a China virus or Wuhan virus, they were being condemned for being xenophobic, not liking yellow people, and there was nothing we had to fear from China because the World Health Organization told us it was all okay.
Yeah, and now you've got President Joe Biden saying, well, you know, we really need to rely on the WHO, the World Health Organization, to do a more in-depth study of where this virus came from. And it's kind of like, excuse me, Joe, no, you cannot trust them. I'm glad he's asked our intel community to take a look at it. I'm not sure exactly what information they'll be able to get a year later. But you're absolutely right that, you know, when President Trump and Senator Cotton brought this up, the mainstream media and, you know, Dr. Fauci, and they ridiculed these people. I think it, you know, and they ridiculed it because it was becoming from Republicans. But there are things that Joe Biden can do now to hopefully put pressure on China to get to the real answers. And it's not cooperating. It's not the U.S. asking the WHO to do an investigation. We need firmer steps.
All right. I want to go through some. You opened up several roads there. Let me open this gate first.
Yes,
and,
okay.
And let's point out that the President Biden wants the intel to give a report back in 90 days. And he was asked when that report comes out, and it clearly identifies, which we know it will, whatever it says about China, will he take steps against China? Will he do it? And the White House official statement was, well, let's wait and see the report before we decide. In other words, are they even thinking that they'll take any action, or do they think we'll just forget and just go on? Okay, here's your report. Like all reports that come out of a board or investigation, you saw it, we got it, we're done. Move on.
Yeah, I think it's kind of where they're at right now. I mean, and they've made some very, very damaging decisions recently to American business and American business interests. You know, what did they do? They waived the patent protections that our vaccine companies use to get to a vaccine faster than anybody in the world has ever done. That's intellectual property. And the Biden administration says, oh, hey, let's waive the patent protection so, you know, our European allies, they can have it. Oh, and if China wants it, they can have it. And so China, instead of having to steal our intellectual property, President Biden is now giving it to them. At the same time, we continue to do research, healthcare research with the Chinese. You know, they had some type of, I don't know what you call it, cloning of a combination, I think, of a monkey and a human cells. Recently, it was announced. It's kind of like, why in the world are we doing this kind of research with the Chinese? Why are we paying for it? And why is this research being conducted in China? Because we know that they don't have the same ethical standards in terms of what they'll do with their findings that we have in the United States and that we have in Europe.
Well, let's look at what's happening right now with them. And again, folks, you're listening to Pete Hoekstra, who is a former House Intel chairman and now with the Center for Security Policy. And one of your colleagues, John Rosamondo, had written a piece, referenced this, and it simply says China refuses to talk with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. And it shows that Joe Biden's America is neither feared nor respected. That's just China. But his whole piece talks about worldwide. But just focusing on China, they don't really think they'll get anything more than a wet noodle slash at them from Biden.
I think that's exactly right. Or they're going to, you know, they're going to test him to see exactly how far he will go. But right now, you know, he's demonstrated he's not willing to go very far, and he's not being very aggressive. You know, the other things he could do is just continue the steps that Donald Trump has done, put economic pressure on them. You know, and then I think the ultimate big gun that I'm in favor of, because for a number of reasons, their economic issues, their treatment of the Uyghurs, now what you find with COVID. Why in the world is the world community allowing China to host the Olympics? You know, they will be the only country that will host the Olympics twice already in the new century. And they've done nothing, absolutely nothing, to earn that kind of privilege from the world community.
Gordon Chain, I'm sure you're familiar with Gordon G. Chain, had been with us last week and talking about how China has the most extensive DNA list of DNA of Americans than even we do in this country, and how the, why they would have it, and what they might be doing with it. You also, by the way, back in 2000, you voted against a bill when you were a congressman that would establish permanent trade relations with the People's Republic. Why did you do that?
I didn't trust the Chinese. I said
same thing as now, right?
Same thing as now, and actually for the last 20 years, what they've done is they've continued to solidify my position that they are not trustworthy.
Well, I pointed out, as your colleague at the Center for Security Policy pointed out, that China is refusing to talk to Biden's representatives. North Korea did the same thing. He's going to have a one-day meeting with Putin. This is after Biden agreed to open up the pipeline going into Germany. So we don't. Yep. We still, you know, he says it's not a reward for doing anything, but that's clearly what it appears to be. Where is he going to get out of Russia?
I have no idea, but Putin ought to be really nice to him because, you know, like you said, Joe Biden has allowed Russia to finalize its pipeline into Germany, which will feed natural gas and make Europe, much of Western Europe, dependent on Russian natural gas, and will send billions of dollars to Russia to for Putin to continue whatever it wants to do in Ukraine, Crimea, and those types of things, and we'll be funding Russian expansionism. Absolutely crazy, and we got nothing out of the deal.
One other piece I want to touch on before we let you go, sir. You were in a Secure Freedom radio broadcast with Frank Gaffney, and you were talking about how that our government should be looking for new ways to build roads, not spy on citizens. And the key phrase there is spy on citizens. You're clearly convinced that under this administration, the intel agencies are being redirected, aimed directly at U.S. citizens, especially if they have conservative or contrarian views to the leftist?
I believe that's the case. They've indicated themselves that they're loosening the rules and the regulations which limited our spy organizations to spy on Americans. So, you know, they're thinking about it. I'm surprised they actually told us that they're doing more of it. You know, General Clapper at one time, you know, denied that he was spying on Americans when a few months later it came out. And those of us that were, you know, in the intel community, when he said that, said, I wouldn't go quite that far, Jim. We do have these databases and you said we don't. And, you know, the Democrats, the left, have admitted this. They use the IRS to target Americans during the Obama administration.
If it had Tea Party or conservative or patriot in the organization trying to seek tax-exempt status, they never got around to them.
Never got around to it. So, yeah, I'm worried about it. I'm just worried about where this administration is taking us in just about every area, economically, our educational system, you know, national security. I mean, I'm very, very uncomfortable with what this administration is doing, and I think the average American should be too. And the good thing is I think a lot of them are catching on that this is not what they expected from, you know, good old Joe.
Yeah, in fact, there was a survey the other day pointing out that many Democrats were finding out he was a little bit more liberal than they thought. Pete, as always, we appreciate you taking time for us, sir.
Always good to be with you. Thanks, Larry. Have a great day.
You bet. Pete Hoekstra, former U.N. ambassador and also former Congressional House member and chair of the House Intel Committee. And he's right. I mean, I think a lot of us, and this, politics aside, it's security of the nation. Security of the nation. Your politics, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, do you want to protect this country? And that is an issue. Then you have the question about who's really running the White House. That story coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There was an interview published today between former President Barack Obama, published with the New York Times columnist Ezra Klein in an interview. And there are several things that came out of that that I want to share with you. One, just talking about the coronavirus issue. The former President Obama said that this coronavirus pandemic could be, quote, a teachable moment. I'm trying to say movement. It's a teachable moment for Americans who appeared hesitant about the government spending trillions. Here's what he said. A part of what happens as a result of the pandemic is there's a teachable moment about maybe this whole deficit hawk thing of the federal government. Just being nervous about our debt 30 years from now, while millions of people are suffering. Maybe that's not a smart way to think about economics. Well, obviously, if we have an emergency and you need to get something done to save lives, yes. But we've gone beyond that. That's the issue. And the COVID relief packages, what they've been putting up and trying to push through, are not just COVID relief. They're for all the leftist, green, climate, whatever nonsense you want to throw into it. And that's where we need to say, this is the line, no more. The former president did express more optimism, or optimism anyway, that more Americans would shift toward the leftist policies under Biden's administration. I'm not so sure he's right about that. We'll have to see. He also noted, they said, I think we're now in an environment where if we just get the big pieces in place, building on what we did before, people will notice it'll have a political impact. And again, he's talking about everything they want to change the country. And I'm not just talking about COVID relief, and a lot of that money's going to start running out. It's being shut off, and we're going to see people finally back at work. Like once again, over the weekend, I was at a couple different establishments, and they were short workers. They can't get people to come to work. I'm going to say that if you are especially a parent in the state of Missouri, let's say, I think it's estimated that if you're getting unemployment and COVID relief, you're making something like $23 an hour. If you have to hire someone to take care of your kids while you go work, well, obviously, that doesn't make sense. But there are others that could be working, but they're just sitting back and enjoying the good life at this point, as long as it lasts. The other thing Obama pointed out in this interview, he said, I think what we're seeing now is Joe and the administration are essentially finishing the job. He's talking about his job, but what he's trying to do. He said, I think it's going to be an interesting test. 90% of the folks who were there in my administration, I hope you're listening to this. I hope you're listening to this because this tells you everything. 90% of the folks who were there in my administration, they are continuing and building on the policies we talked about. Yep. Obama basically is still running the White House. And we've already been told by White House Press Secretary that the former president often calls or has conversations with Joe Biden. They won't say what, won't say how often, won't say who initiates a call. And that's just with the president. Who knows how many other people in the White House circle or cabinet positions that Obama's in contact with on a regular basis. Either they call him or he calls them. I want to share something with you before we go to the break here from the Washington Post. Far left. It's Washington Post is far left. Don't make a mistake about that. But even the far-left Washington Post has to acknowledge how bad the defund the police movement has proven in Democrat-run Portland. A disaster. Here's what the Post writes. Portland is a white city, overwhelmingly so. African Americans account for just 6% of the population. But it is black people who are dying at near historic rates and filling churches with grief. They're going to point out that May 12th, Portland recorded its 30th murder of the year, five times more than were recorded during the same period in 2020. And again, pointing out more black Americans are being killed in Portland as they defund police and pull police out of areas, or they're having to be preoccupied on a nightly basis as riots just continue. Every night there's something else going on. Portland's Democrat Mayor Ted Wheeler told the Post, the city has recorded an 85% decline in downtown foot traffic, economic despair, more crime. They've shattered windows at the Oregon Historical Society, at a Boys and Girls Club, a public library, many small businesses, including some owned by black merchants. And he's pleading for the citizens, take our city back. And they had 1,000 sworn officers, now they're 900 or less. And no one really wants to join the Portland Police Department. On the flip side, and I wouldn't say the flip side of necessarily in a reference to the desk, but I want to make sure you understand that in the next hour, we're going to spend some time also on a tragedy that scars our history to this day, and many admit they didn't even know about it. What happened in Tulsa in 1921, black citizens massacred, white vigilantes and others looking for any reason they could to kill black Americans. It's time we have that talk. We'll be doing that and more. Oh, yeah, the UFO. UFOs confirmed by the Pentagon? That story, still to come.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.